Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We live in a very hopeless world. It appears that our culture is collapsing. We're losing our sense of values. Crime, hostility, abuse, continuing to increase at a frightening rate. Many of us are living to see the death of our expectations, and to ask the question, what is hope, almost seems like a hopeless pursuit. The Bible is filled with a lot of things about hope. Paul wrote in Romans 15, beginning at verse 4, about hope, when he said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope, I like that, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Father, we realize our world needs hope, real hope. Not just whistling in the dark or hoping something to be so when there's no evidence. We need the hope that is firmly rooted in who you are and what your revelation is. God, I pray that you will lift our spirits and our hearts today. For those that are discouraged among us, Lord, you'll bring your sweet comfort and strength and courage. And Father, we know that some are suffering great pain and difficulty in their life. Lord, may they know you're the God of hope, that if only in this life we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. We thank you, Lord, that our hope is beyond the grave. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Famous American William Bradbury, back in the 1800s, at the time of the Civil War, a dark time in America, it looked pretty hopeless. And he wrote the song, My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. In his third stanza, he said, His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Isaac Watts, the father of English hymns, wrote in 1719 a hymn that became what many thought would be the national anthem of our country, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. And on that first stanza, he said, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, Our Hope for Years to Come. Apparently, we've come to another dark time, and many are losing hope. Bernard of Clairvaux in the Middle Ages lived at a terrible time of sickness and famine. A terrible time of depression and defeat. We call it the Dark Ages. But this dear monk wrote the words to Jesus, the very thought of thee. And on the third stanza, he said, O hope of every contrite heart. Charles Wesley wrote so many hymns, thousands of them. No one is expected to remember them all. Some of them have not been chosen as favorite hymns. But they're all filled with fascinating content. One of the ones he wrote that we don't know much about is called Forever Here My Rest Shall Be. He wrote this, Forever here my rest shall be, close to thy bleeding side. This all my hope and all my plea. For me, the Savior died. What great words. Fanny Crosby, who dominated American hymns for many, many years, born blind, yet could see with the eye of faith, wrote in her wonderful song, I Am Thine, O Lord, these words, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. There have been dark times in the past. There have been difficult trials, out of which have come beautiful songs speaking of hope. The word hope is used 129 times in the Bible, of which 60 are in the New Testament. But the Bible speaks often of how terrible it is to live without hope. In Ephesians 2:12, it says of those who are unbelievers, they are strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. In a very insightful and moving passage, Job, under great distress and suffering, wrote about the hopelessness of life. In Job 7, when he wrote these amazing words, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, emptiness, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? I'm full of tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and spent without hope. In Job 8, Bildad, one of Job's friends, trying to minister to him in his grief, said, so are the paths of all that forget God. The hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, whose trust shall be a spider's web. Zophar, Job's friend, in Job 11:20 said, the eyes of the wicked shall fail, they shall not escape, their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. But in Job 27, verses 8 to 10, Job wrote, for what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Perhaps Paul was thinking of these words when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In that great passage concerning the rapture of the church, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul said, we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I asked myself the question, what is hope? To many people, it seems like they're just hoping something to be so, with little evidence, whistling in the dark. Is that what we mean by hope? The Bible teaches otherwise. I'd like to answer that question, what is hope, with five simple statements. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. In answering the question, what is hope? The first thing I'd bring to your attention is that hope is the confidence we have in the Lord Himself. Hope is the confidence we have in the Lord Himself. It's because who the Lord is that we have hope. In Psalm 146, verse 3, we read this. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Yes, our hope is in the Lord. In Psalm 38:15, it says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. He is our hope. Hope is the confidence we have in the Lord Himself. Turn, please, to Psalm 39, one of the most insightful passages for those of us who aren't really sure what life is all about. Psalm 39, beginning at verse 4 down to verse 7. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Now, perhaps you've been at the health club all week. You've been trying to determine buffness and nutrition and health. You've been admiring yourself in the mirror. The true Bible doctrine concerning you is how frail you are. Continue reading. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, emptiness, soap bubbles. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. In other words, they're troubled over nothing. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Perhaps your hope is in a better job, higher paying job, in a home, in a car, in a future, a retirement. Your hope is in the wrong thing. Hope is the confidence that we have in the Lord himself. He is our hope. Psalm 71:5 says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." In Psalm 147, verse 11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." In a very difficult time, Jeremiah wrote in chapter 17, verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Is the Lord really your hope? Is that really what you're trusting? True hope, from the Bible's point of view, is the confidence that we have in the Lord himself. Secondly, I'd like you to turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations in a Hebrew Bible is in the book of Jeremiah. Same content. Lamentations is the weepings, wailings, and cryings of God's people over the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple in 586 BC by Babylon. It's the Jews today who stand in front of the wailing wall that often quote Lamentations as they continue the weeping, wanting the temple to be restored. In Lamentations chapter 3, in that very dark time, looking at the hopelessness of it, as they cried out in this book and said, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" We read in Ezekiel 37:11 concerning the dry bone vision of Israel, that Israel said, "Our bones are dried, our hope is cut off." In a day when there seems to be no hope, we read these words. Lamentations 3:1, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." Maybe that's true of you too. God's chastening hand has come to you. Pick it up at verse 18 and watch the argument. "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." What is hope? Hope is the confidence we have in the Lord himself. But number two, hope is the comfort that we have in the midst of our trials. Yes, it was a difficult time, and yes, they were in pain. They looked all around them and saw no evidence of any hope. They felt lost and abandoned by God. Yet in the midst of all of this, as they cried to God, feeling that their hope had perished from the hand of the Lord himself, yet they remembered the Lord's mercies and his compassion and his faithfulness. Therefore, they continued to hope in him. Hope is the comfort we have in the midst of that trial. That comfort comes from God's word. That's what Paul said in Romans 15:4 in our scripture reading, that it's through the comfort of the scriptures that we have hope. Many of us fail to turn to the very thing that will sustain us. We want the trial to go away. We want the affliction to cease. We want the problem to be resolved. And God says no. He leaves it with us that we might know true hope, the hope that comes as he comforts us with his word. Turn to Psalm 119, an entire psalm dedicated to the word of God, speaking often of hope and comfort in our affliction. Hope is the comfort we receive from God's word in the midst of our trials. In Psalm 119, look at verse 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened or revived me. Yes, my friends, that's what the word does. It is our comfort in our affliction. It is our hope. Look at verse 81 and 82. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? God's word is what will sustain us in the great trials we go through in life. In verse 114 of Psalm 119, a song called The Hiding Place and a movie was built on this verse. Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. It's not easy to bring comfort in the midst of trial. Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat and I wept with those that wept. Sometimes the only thing we can do is to be there and cry with those who are going through difficult times. But what we need is the truth of God's word. It's the only thing that can comfort us. When you walk into a doctor's office and he says you have a terminal illness, if your mind is saturated with God's word, you know he's not said one thing you don't already know. The Bible teaches we all have a terminal illness. It's only a question of time. And by the way, just to encourage you, you will die on time. Not one day sooner, not one day later. All things are in the hands of the Lord. He knows the day we're born, the day we'll die. He knows all the days in between. Our tears are in his bottle, and all our wanderings away from him, he has counted and numbered. God is the sovereign God who sees it all from beginning to end. What a wonderful comfort we have. Next time that doctor tells you you have a terminal illness, just say to him, hey, doctor, tell me something I don't know. By the way, you don't look too good yourself today. God's comfort is so good. I remember several years ago, many years now, I went to the funeral of a friend who had died, and I was not the speaker. I was just attending, and it was graveside. And there was a crowd of people, perhaps 40, 50 people there, and the family had chosen a pastor who was not committed to the Bible. I don't recall him saying anything from the Bible, though I think he thought dust to dust was something about it. And yes, it is in the Bible. But his words, I didn't know where he was. He was tiptoeing through the tulips and I wasn't there. I didn't know what he's talking about. And I observed this fellow's wife sitting on some chairs that had been provided for the family in front of the casket. I observed her crying her heart out. As soon as the pastor was done, he walked away and the funeral director was motioning for everybody to leave. People walked away, but she just sat there and just kept crying. I lingered back and I decided to walk up and say hello and give my greetings, and I sat down beside her and she looked at me and she said, oh, David, do you have any Bible? I said, you bet. I opened my Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and we read that wonderful story of the rapture of the church and that we sorrow like those who have no hope. I finished that thinking it would be enough. She said, you got any more? I said, yes, I do. 1 Corinthians 15, we read the entire chapter on the resurrection. She said, you got any more? I said, you bet. I could hear in the background the funeral director going, ahem, ahem. I completely ignored him and kept reading. After I got done, she was standing up, tears coming down her face, a smile on her face. She said, it's really true. We do have a hope, don't we? I said, you bet. I walked over to the director. I said, you could use a little of that yourself. Hope. Hope is the comfort of the Word of God in the midst of our trial and pain. Hope is the courage that we have when we're depressed and discouraged and defeated. Constantly throughout the Bible, as it was in our scripture reading, we read of people who are discouraged. Yes, God tells the truth about human experience. As wonderful a man as King David, a man after God's own heart, he was often depressed. Interestingly, the Lord Jesus referred to some of the Psalms of depression that David was speaking by the Holy Spirit. Apparently, you can be spirit-filled and be depressed, which is contrary to the thinking of a lot of people. It isn't a pill that we need, it's the Lord. Hope is the courage we have when we're discouraged and defeated and depressed. In Psalm 31:24, it says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Turn, please, to Psalm 42. You'll notice that two times in this psalm, verse 5 and verse 11, David speaks about his depression, his discouragement. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Well, from a human point of view, he had cause. He's being pursued by King Saul. He's hiding out in limestone caves. He feels abandoned and rejected, and he knows God had called him to be the king. You would be depressed too. "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me," he said in verse 6, repeating it again. Verse 5, he said, "Why art thou disquieted in me?" Sometimes we're so troubled, we don't know why. We're so discouraged. And the answer comes clear to us. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." In verse 11, he said, "For the health of my countenance and my God." Notice in chapter 43, verse 5, he repeats it again. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Yes, hope is the courage that we need when we're depressed and defeated. Depression feeds on itself. Misery loves company. Our pride sometimes keeps us from knowing that God will strengthen us in our time of need. Several years ago, I went through a very deep depression. I couldn't explain it, didn't know why. Those of you who've been depressed can, I'm sure, identify. And people offered all kinds of things, including pills, which I refused to take. People told me I needed more sleep. They told me all kinds of things. One lady told me I just needed a good hot meal. Well, that's one thing I don't need a whole lot more of. But in the midst of that depression, a dear elderly lady said something to me that ministered to my heart. It was after preaching, she came up to me and she said, "I know you're a little down." She said, "I just wanted you to know that the Lord is down there with you." Oh, how my heart was encouraged. Yes, in those times when you think nobody understands, nobody cares, nobody knows what you're going through, he's there and he cares. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He will give you courage. Joshua was not exactly thrilled to take over for Moses. 605,000 men, not counting women and children and all their stuff. 31 kings, Canaanite kings in the land with their iron chariots. He looked at that motley crew and he was scared. And God said, "Joshua, be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." One year I noticed the staff was a little depressed. It was near Christmas time. Seems like people get depressed around that time. So I went to a Christian bookstore and bought a book by my good friend Tim LaHaye. It's called How to Win Over Depression. I bought copies for every one of the staff. I thought it was a good thing. They got worse. Isn't it wonderful to know that the true hope we have in the Lord is courage when we can't take another step? It's strength when we feel like giving up. The Lord is there, my friend. Even when you're depressed and defeated and discouraged, God is there. He has not forsaken you. If you don't feel close to the Lord, guess who moved? It wasn't the Lord. Let's come to number four. Turn to Romans chapter 8. What is hope? Hope is the confidence we have in the Lord himself. Hope is the comfort we have from God's word in the midst of our trials. Hope is the courage we have when we're depressed and defeated. But number four, hope is the contentment we have in waiting for God to fulfill his promises. Look at Romans chapter 8 and begin at verse 18, a wonderful passage on hope. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity or emptiness, not willingly. I mean, he didn't want that to happen, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, God let it happen, showed the futility of life, because he wanted us to have hope. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Yes, true biblical hope is contentment. Contentment in waiting for God to fulfill his promises. Now the Bible says here that that promise deals with getting a brand new body. That's the Christian hope. One of the beautiful things about getting older, it's preparing you, causing you to anticipate the wonderful hope of a new body. Your body is falling apart. Amen? It's decaying. You may be falling apart outside, but inside you're alive. You're excited because of who God is and because of our blessed hope. One day our bodies will be transformed and made into the likeness of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Turn please to Hebrews 6, where the Bible emphasizes this wonderful hope, a contentment, waiting for God to fulfill his promises to us. Because of who God is, he will fulfill his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. In Hebrews chapter 6, the writer in verse 13 says this, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, 25 years I might add, he obtained the promise. He had a son, Isaac, in his old age. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, immutability means the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, namely God himself and his word, neither one change. It was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation or comfort who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. My friends, Jesus is our hope. We have a promise from God. Because of who God is and because of his word, those two immutable things, unchangeable things. God says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. He cannot lie. He has promised to us in his word that there is a blessed day coming. We need contentment to wait for God to fulfill his promises to us. And the Bible says it's a sure anchor of the soul. It will keep you steadfast. Praise the Lord. Number 5, when we answer the question, what is hope? It is certainly the confidence we have in the Lord himself, and the comfort we receive from his word in the midst of our trials, and the courage we receive from him when we're depressed and defeated, and the contentment we have in waiting for God to fulfill his promises. But the capstone of this whole thing is that hope is the coming of the Messiah. Turn to Titus chapter 2. The hope of this planet is the coming of the Messiah. In a conversation with an elderly gentleman who's been with the Mossad for years, Israel's intelligence agency fighting terrorism around the world, a man who reads his Bible and prays to the Lord God of Israel for help, he said in a very powerful statement, simply but powerful, He said the only hope for this planet is the coming of the Messiah. How right he is. In Titus 2:11 it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world," our present age, "looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." What is our hope? It is the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." When he ascended into heaven, two men in white apparel said to the disciples who were gazing at his departure, "This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." The hope of the world is the coming of the Messiah. The hope of the believer is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me that our world presently is lost in trying to find hope. Ignoring the truth of the Bible, we need the Messiah. Long ago in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government of the whole world is on his shoulder." He won't need a cabinet. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end on the throne of his father David to order it and establish it with justice forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What is the hope of the world? The hope of the world is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the hope of the world. I don't know what problems you have, but if he comes for his church before we're finished, goodbye problems. You say, "Well, you don't know how much money I've got on MasterCard and Visa." Hey, give it to the Antichrist. We're out of here. I'm not arguing for unwise stewardship. You should pay your bills. We need to occupy until the Savior comes. But some of us get buried by our pain, buried by our trials, buried by the bad things that happen every single day. We're overwhelmed. We're stressed out. We're discouraged. We forgot our hope. Jesus is coming. No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more trouble anymore. Hallelujah. He's going to be here soon. I hope you're ready.